ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Yesterday I made an announcement that I'm being kicked out of my place and need some funds to start up a new studio elsewhere. Within 24 hours, we've received about a quarter of our target goal of $2,000. And that was, frankly, a massive surprise to me. I didn't realize that there were that many people out there who actually appreciate the show and the work that I do. And considering it's the eve of Thanksgiving in the United States, that's one thing that I'm thankful for. Intelligent and caring and appreciative listeners and good friends, great guests, all of which have contributed immense amounts so that I can fulfill my vision of just getting out these people's words and what they actually want to talk about, because I'm sick of the mainstream media just soundbiting people, and it's just a waste of bloody time listening to them, really, isn't it? You know what I'm talking about. You almost get to the point where you're like, should I even be sitting here watching this? Isn't there something better that I could be doing with my time? Shouldn't I be boring my brain out with some description of cordless drill? That would probably be a more useful endeavor. But yeah, I want to thank those people who have contributed already. So we still need a lot more. Unfortunately, we're not there yet. So again, I must emphasize to people that I really do need your help. I'm getting kicked out of my place. I need revenue fast to move into a new place to broadcast from, and I need help from the activist community to do this. If you have a website or something like that, please make a space on it to help keep New Zealand's alternative media alive. I'd be very much in your debt, and preferably not the banksters. And I'm on call for you to help on the technical side of things, as I'm quite familiar with many types of websites and how to post things in the background. I've been working 10 to 16 hours a day, editing, broadcasting, uploading, posting, writing, talking, and networking with activists so the people have the coverage that they deserve. And due to an emergency with my girlfriend's parents kicking me out, I didn't want to kick her out, just me, out of the house, they incidentally did that a day after I just gave my girlfriend my last $500 to get her teeth fixed, which means I am effed. most of my equipment that I've been that I'm using today has been bought with donations. The people that finance me, and I return the favor by working every day for them. Now, if you're unfamiliar with how important it is that I stay on air, and check out my featured interviews with the top patriots and researchers in the world, in many cases the first New Zealander to do so. You can go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com/featured-interviews.html. That's featured-interviews.html at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And some of my biggest interviews, like with G. Edward Griffin, Lindsay Williams, and George Norrie, which very few people are able to get, and first Kiwi to do so ever. And I even have an endorsement from G. Edward Griffin from Freedom Force International. He has a Hall of Honor where he puts the top patriots and all of that kind of stuff on there to recognize their contributions to society. Number one is Alex Jones, and number 12 is Vinnie Eastwood. Very honored to be on there. I've also put more Kiwi activists on air than anyone else in history on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com /Kiwi-collaborators.html. You can have a look at all of those there. I've been on over 40 New Zealand and international radio shows. There's a tab there, Vinnie, on other shows. So I'm really pushing it and getting out there. But the majority of those shows I've actually been invited on because people listened to me here and they thought it'd be fun to have on. And, you know, I am fun. It's what I do. And I also have a number one YouTube reporter channel that outranks the mainstream media's YouTube channels. Okay? Every single mainstream media reporter channel that exists in New Zealand, I have outranked them, okay? They don't get as many hits as I do, and it's probably because not only do they not really care about the news that they cover like I do, because I feel it's a duty to one's people and a duty to have an informed public so that democracy can function. They're just waiting for their next Gucci handbag or trip to Tahiti, as Ian Wishart has said on the show. Now, I've also made a website, Guerrilla Media, to give activists and new talent the ability to write articles and post videos for free without having to contribute any funds, so people can come to one place for a wide spectrum of news right from the horse's mouth. That's at guerrillamedia.co.nz. Now, it is only through the support of the listeners and viewers that I've been able to do any of this. I've been at it for less than 3 years, living by the skin of my teeth, and I don't ask for things unless I need them. And I've had many generous donations of equipment, like a 27-inch iMac, Bluetooth wireless microphones, a professional Sony DV Tape 3 CCD camera, a Kodak HD video camera, a studio mic with a stand and a spit guard and an external sound card to convert it to USB so I can use it on the internet. I've been donated a megaphone, shoes, food, lens cleaner, a backpack, a DV cable, etc. I remember everyone who's donated something to help keep me running, and I hope that I'm worth it. So if you're keen, you can donate at guerrillamedia.co.nz, guerrillamedia.co.nz. And thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. If you simply search or Google Vinny Eastwood, I'm the, I think this is a pretty unique name, so it's pretty easy to see me as number one on Google for that particular search item. But yeah, you can spell it with an IE, but I don't choose to do that because I think why is the most important question. We have a chip-in widget, so it's 250 by 250 that you can pop on your website so people can donate through PayPal, and in order to get that target met. And also we have, I also go around to public meetings and protests and things of that nature to film and document activists in their element. And I've made four mini documentaries and designed the DVDs and all of that kind of stuff, as well as three full-length presentations on the subjects of cannabis prohibition, vaccines, Israel, climate change, vitamin C, pesticides, and fluoride, all with very reputable and top names that you would expect to have on any mainstream American show. So, yeah, you can also download a banner of that to put on your website to help us generate some revenue there as well. And you can email me, guerrillamrnews@gmail.com, guerrillamrnews@gmail.com. Contact us through the website or anything like that. Okay, now that we've gotten that out of the way, because it's, you know, pretty freaking important that we keep staying on the air kind of thing, or at least I think so, and we have, how many days? We've got 3 days until New Zealanders go to the polls, and I wanted to devote this, because this is my last show, to be on air before we go to vote. And I've brought on a very special guest, my former co-host, Will Ryan from the RNZ Party, not necessarily to just promote himself, although I expect he will, and I hope that he does, because RNZ has an awful lot of policy that, well, makes sense, unlike most of the mainstream parties. But that would be saying that RNZ is a mainstream party, and in fact, technically it's not yet. They didn't have the numbers to form a proper party, unfortunately, which is often the case with people who are telling the truth. You'll either get ridiculed, abandoned, or people just will completely ignore you altogether. Will Ryan, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Vinny. Thanks for having me on again. Yeah, I mean, I'm not quite as vividly into self-promotion, so I won't try and push the RNZ party too much, but I reckon you should cut ads. You should cut ads for the National Party or something. A bit of coin on the side, eh, Vinny?
I'm not sure if they'd want to pay me well, to tell you the truth.
Oh, you know, these guys will pay each other ridiculous amounts of money for doing nothing. Surely if someone was doing something for them, they'd have to contribute a little bit of their blood money. But no, I mean, where do we start on this? We've got this. I'm getting bombarded by people saying, you you don't understand. The Labour Party wants to really help the New Zealand people, and they believe in a welfare society, and that's all nice and loving. And this seems to be the polarisation in New Zealand at the moment. We've got the National Party, which a lot of people in the activist community, I'm not sure if the polls indicate it, a lot of people in the activist community are saying are just this, you know, evil bunch of vampires who work for Wall Street. But somehow the Labour Party, who isn't calling for getting their money, their $450 million a week from any other source, who isn't calling for removing any sort of stately force on the citizens, in fact, they probably want to tax us more and control our lives more, somehow the Labour Party and the Greens and Mana, somehow they're the loving leftist welfare ones who just want to indebt us more to care for people. I'm not quite understanding that. Maybe you can help me understand this, Vinny.
Well, I'm not sure, bro. I just kind of wanted to go through all the parties in alphabetical order. I've got my elections voting form here, right? Okay. Yeah. So the first one is the ACT Party. Now, for those of you who don't know, the ACT Party was founded by a guy named Roger Douglas. Roger Douglas is the guy who took allegedly a $20,000 payoff by the World Bank in order to institute getting New Zealand massively and monstrously into debt and instituting a massive agenda of privatization at fire sale values. Okay, it is headed currently by Don Brash, who is the former Reserve Bank governor who artificially kept interest rates, was it up or down? I think they artificially kept interest rates down during the first bit of the 1990s in order to correct the 1980s stock market crash that Roger Douglas caused. And as a result, hundreds of thousands of Kiwis were out of work. So that's the ACT Party for you. That's at least the history. And allegedly what they want to do now is to give people more liberties and to privatise more stuff. Now, if you steal people's assets off them and sell them off to World Bank-affiliated companies at fire sale prices, I don't think that increases your liberties. But I could be wrong. What's your take on the ACT Party, Will?
Well, some of their history and individuals involved, like John Banks, who we're not friends with. Some of that stuff aside, in principle, I've had a few chats to, I won't name him, he's number 5 on the ACT list. I've had a few chats to this guy, and a lot of people seem to be surprised when Don Brash came out and said he was actually for legalization of cannabis. Now, that could be a bit of a promo stunt on his behalf, but in theory, I kind of agree with some of the classical liberal views. I agree with less taxation, less regulation in general, allowing markets to set their own prices. I don't agree with wage setting. I don't agree with minimum wages. And I use the example for anyone who doubts what would happen if we didn't have a minimum wage. Go have a look on Trade Me, which is New Zealand's largest form of eBay. Over 2 million, more than half the country is on there. The government doesn't tell anyone what to sell anything for, and it works beautifully. So much, in fact, that most people go there rather than go to retail stores. More than $2 billion worth of sales online just this year. That's free market. It still has rules. There are underlying rules. Now, what we have to get right is the underlying rules. And so I agree with ACT if I believe the paradigm in which we live in isn't as corrupt as it is with our money supply controlled by foreign interests. The competitive business model of privatized companies works in theory, in practice. Big global interests, CIA fronts, etc., use shell companies in order to take hold of the strategic assets of nations. So probably not a good road to go down. But as for day-to-day marketplaces, I think I sort of agree with some of the deregulation standpoints they have. Personal freedoms, if that includes the right not to be fluoridated, the right not to be aspartamed, I would agree there.
And they were against the ETS, the carbon tax. So you know, you got
strongly against.
You got to give them some
trading to.
You got to give them the due credit for that. And
what about the only party that doesn't buy into the left cover of environmentalism, carbon taxation?
Yeah, and last point, John Banks, who's kind of become the semi-front man, even though he's number four on the list, is also, what was he, a 33rd or 32nd degree Freemason? I forget which. But that's irrelevant.
32nd degree, but I mean, the thing is, John Banks is definitely, and I'll call this from the get-go, he is the cognitive infiltration of the ACT Party by the National Party to try and make them more centrist.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what will happen after the election. Mark my words, yeah. John Banks will take over the ACT Party. Anyway, who's next?
The Alliance. This was started up by a man named Jim Anderton, who they used to be called the Progressives, I think, back in the 70s or 80s, I believe. Communist became a bad word, so they changed it to Green and Progressive. So he's also, incidentally, a rabid prohibitionist because his daughter suffered from what's been colloquially called by the cannabis community as prohibition rage, where you will be a cannabis user in a household or situation with other very big anti-people, and as a direct result, you feel very discriminated against and wind up killing yourself. And that's exactly what happened to Jim Anderton's daughter, and that's what he's been pushing for quite some time. We'll get into more of this after the break. My very special guest is Will Ryan from the RNZ Party, breaking down the parties for you to vote for this election season. We'll be right back after the break.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating, or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkey Light removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Perculite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Perculite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Perky water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Perky banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Perky water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR.
American Freedom.
Give it to them. Your life, as it has been, is over.
Radio Free Humanity on AFR. Listen to The Paradigm Shift, Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Central.
Look at me, driving, and I won't stop. And it feels so good.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Isn't it arrogant to say I'm New Zealand's number one truther talk radio show that talks about real stuff that actually frickin' matters because it's 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, full of awesomeness? I think it's more accurate than arrogant. And speaking of people who are accurate rather than arrogant, we have a very special guest for you, ladies and gentlemen. His name, and he's the legendary, Ian Wishart. Welcome to the show, mate.
Good afternoon, Vinny. Look, I think on your definition of is it arrogant or accurate, I'd say, given that definition, you're the only one in here who's doing that. I think you covered the basis.
It's a monopoly, right. Rather than a competitive model, Vinny.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I've always been a globalist. All right. Now, we wanted to bring Ian on today because, as I said, mentioned in the last segment, it's New Zealand's election season coming up. We go to the polls on Saturday, and unfortunately, because it's Thanksgiving in the United States, tomorrow and the day after's Vinnie Eastwood show will not be going to air. So we wanted to kind of cram up today with as much Kiwi-ness and put it the heck out there so people can make a decision based on some evidence for once in an election. Because if you're the fourth estate, which is what the media is supposed to be, it's your job to inform the public so that democracy can function, because it can't function if all the public are misinformed or moronic. Oh, we've just had Ian drop out on us, unfortunately. We hopefully can be able to bring him back. Oh, there we go. We got him back. Okay. Sweet as. So, Ian.
You shot me out of the water after that comment, didn't you?
Yeah, nuclear option. I'm always in favour of the nuclear option. That's why I've got a villa in Fukushima. Now, would you be able to give us your breakdown of this election season and who you're voting for and what you think your choices might be if you might be a member of the general public?
Look, it's a really interesting election. I mean, it's a little bit like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. That's my perception on it. Because with the world economy going where it's going and into uncharted territory, well, it's not entirely uncharted. We've seen this sort of thing happen prior to World War II. The promises and claims and counterclaims from New Zealand politicians about what's going to be important and what they're going to do for the next 3 years, sort of like, you know, which fairy story can you enjoy the most tonight sort of thing. Because I have a horrible suspicion, and a lot of people on the right and the left are coming to the same conclusion, that everything that's being talked about is really sort of ignoring the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is the coming world financial collapse.
Hello? And people think that because John Key is a financial wizard in the making stuff up off the top of his head sense of the word, that he's going to be able to be the best person to get us through this crisis.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I mean, I the whole idea of asset sales to pay your way out of debt and invest in something else. I mean, I'm not opposed to asset sales per se, but I am opposed to asset sales being done under the guise of something else. And in this case, You know, once again, the lesson that we should have learnt from the late 1980s, when the last time the New Zealand governments began asset selling, is that you don't sell on a down market. Well, that's what they're planning to do. So, you know, we're not going to get good prices for these things in the greatest scheme of things. Secondly, control is not going to end up staying in New Zealand's hands forever. You know, just because a politician says today, well, I can pass a law and make it so, doesn't mean it's going to stay that way, you know, two terms down the track. And once you open the door, that horse is bolted. Thirdly, the issue that I have with their policy on asset sales, and this applies to any country really, is that the stated aim for this is that, oh, well, we need to spend more money in schools and health and education and those sorts of things, which is appealing to the warm fuzzies of the New Zealand psyche. But the reality is that when you are taking money away from capital investment in a company or a major government corporation, that is itself making money. It's a revenue stream for you. That capital expenditure is taken to be a financial investment because you're investing in new equipment, you're investing in better productivity, you're investing to give your income stream a boost down the track. So, yeah, you might have to pay $7 billion over the next 10 years to invest in infrastructure, but you plan to get that back through better prices and better returns over the coming years. Now, when you say, well, I'm selling these assets because I don't want to spend $7 billion and instead I want to put the money into schools, health and education, there's a real big difference because the money that you spend in schools, health and education is perhaps a social investment, but it's not a commercial investment. It's not in the same class of comparison to government state assets. So you're really just, it's a cunning way of saying, well, I'm just going to use the money to pay the bills. Well, what happens when you no longer have any money to pay the bills the next time around? And this is the central weakness of the whole asset sales debate, is that, you know, we are selling down assets ostensibly just to pay our bills. And it's being dressed up in the guise of, well, but we need better schools. Well, of course we do. But that's a function of government in the long term anyway. To rip the heart out of our income-producing state assets and flog them off to the private sector is nothing but wealth transfer.
Well, and that's World Bank 101, or 111 to be precise.
Well, yeah, this is where you link it into the whole globalization debate. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter which party you look at around the world these days, they're all singing the globalist song. They're all doing what the globalist entities want. And the huge multinational corporations that can shift their assets around from country to country depending on what the given laws are in a specific area to take best advantage of that. Well, you know, New Zealand is part of their target and they want to asset strip New Zealand, as has been done in the past, and as will be done to the US and to Britain and other countries. I mean, this is just standard stuff.
Yep. Pretty straightforward. They want what we got and they are going to take it. Okay. And my philosophy is that when a globalist sends an agent into a country to lead it into oblivion, they don't take that agent out until the country has reached the oblivion point, right? John Key, yeah. former New York Federal Reserve bankster, created the derivatives trade to a large extent in the European bonds market. He's one of the people who you would point the finger at as being most directly responsible for the massive financial crisis, right? And so who better to run a country into the ground? And he's not finished yet. And so that's why he's going to get reelected.
Well, yeah, I think that'd be, you know, with all the greatest respect, I think John was only, what, in his early 20s at the stage when he was, you know, started working for some of these big Merrill Lynches and so forth. But what I would say is the National Party ideology is to do this. And this is why, you know, this is why in any election in this country, and probably in most countries, it's an election between Tweedledum and Tweedledummer. The choices are presented as being a democratic choice for the people to vote on. But the reality is that the puppet masters control the choices. So it doesn't matter which one you choose, you're going to end up in the same destination, just with a different shade of train ticket for the journey. You know, if Labor got into power and what have you, I think that, you know, the past history has shown that they have a particular philosophy as well, and they are globalist in a different sense. I mean, you go back to the agenda for the climate change, which was really pushed by Helen Clark's government, and buying into the international world government process that was going to create, exactly the same thing would have happened. You know, if you get a global government entity set up to administer the world's carbon economy, and given that every single corporation depends on carbon, then you will have ultimate control. And if that world government entity is given powers to decide what resources should be produced in which areas, then bureaucrats in Switzerland or New York or wherever will ultimately determine economic policy for the globe, including New Zealand. And Labour would simply be able to wash its hands and say, well, we've signed up to an international UN treaty and we have to do this. Now, to be fair, National is saying exactly the same thing. Nick Smith is a key player in Parliamentarians for Global Action. He's a globalist, and that's why he's in charge of the climate change process. So it doesn't matter which party you choose. There's different shades to appeal to the consumer, or different flavours, but the end is going to be the same. It's just a matter of how much mud that they can fling at each other in the meantime prior to going to the polls as to which one of them is going to come up trumps and get the cabinet minister's salaries for the next 3 years.
So I'm acting under the assumption you're not going to be voting Green this election.
Look, I have a lot of sympathy for the Greens in terms of environmental issues, but I think where the Greens went wrong is that they got sucked into the climate change world government scenario and put their blinkers on, and that's a real tragedy. There's a lot of people out there who share environmental concerns and want our planet cleaned up, want our waterways and beaches and parks and land and roadsides cleaned up and clean air pumped into the atmosphere. But this whole facade, this belief that we can somehow wind down the temperature of the planet by the actions of ourselves in defiance of Mother Nature. And what's more, that we can tax people on this and create wages and incomes for bureaucracies is daft. But it's a massive money-making venture, and it's a massive control venture. And it fits hand in glove with the globalists. I mean, you look at George Soros and so forth. I mean, there's some of the key players in the whole globalization debate playing every single hand they can and rubbing their hands together with glee. There are major money corporations and what have you who want to asset strip the Western world. They want control of the world economy. They're jockeying for position to get it. New Zealand's just one part of the map. US is another. Japan's another. It's happening everywhere.
That's why I find it very strange when people talk about New Zealand as if, oh, we're too small to bother with. That's why they call it a new world order. What country do you think is exempt?
Look, I'll tell you, I'll share a little secret with your listeners. My father was the first person in New Zealand to build a cell phone network in the days when New Zealand Post owned Telecom and Post and Telegraph. And he was on a plane coming back from London one day on a flight, and sitting next to the guy on the plane, the guy said, oh, I've come out here to do some work for the New Zealand government. And Dad said, oh, well, what's that involved? And he said, oh, well, there's a proposal to deregulate a whole bunch of industries and the airwaves and so forth. And, we've been asked to consult on this. And Dad didn't tell him who he was. He just said, oh, well, what are your thoughts? And he said, well, the guy from London said, well, we don't know really. This is the first place in the world we've been able to do it. We've been allowed to do it. So New Zealand is sort of a test case for the rest of the world. So what we put in place here, we'll be rolling out elsewhere.
and vice versa. If they can't get it passed here, they pass it elsewhere and then use it as an example to pass it here.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I mean, if you look at the news reports carefully, you'll often see examples where New Zealand has been used as a guinea pig for the rest of the world and then touted as an example and used to convince other countries that this is what should be done, and vice versa. That's exactly the way it works. It's divide and rule, or alternatively just, worm your way into one little place. The reason they wanted to do New Zealand is because it is a Western economy. It contains a wide variety of geographical features that replicate different countries around the world, and they can test in microcosm. And we have a fairly multicultural society, so they're able to test for that as well. So, we are a test bed.
Yeah. So who are you going to be voting for next to rule the test bed?
Look, that's a really tough question. On the one hand, I personally, for all the best will in the world, I think Phil Goff's a nice guy. But, if we all vote for Phil Goff at this coming election on Saturday, he won't be Prime Minister 6 weeks from now, even if he wins the election. So whoever wins the election, whether Phil Goff wins or loses, he's gone. And the big question mark hanging over Labor is who's going to take over. Are we going to end up with Shane Jones suddenly becoming default Prime Minister, Minister of Porn? or David Cunliffe or Trevor Mallard or someone from Labor's left, who are we going to end up with if they win? I don't vote because of my work as an investigative journalist. I have to stay off the electoral roll and concentrate on those issues. So I haven't actually voted since 1987. So a long time ago. And the last time I voted for Labor. It's a tough election. I would have thought that John Key and National were going to be a shoo-in. I think Phil Goff has put up a good performance in the last week of the campaign, and I think that John Key spent too much time listening to his minders. The one thing National does have is really bad advisers. They're very much play to the crowd people, and they're quite timid. And, you know, really what you want in politics is a bit of rogue. I mean, Helen Clark had a bit of mongrel. John Key has it, but it's been, well and truly put on the leash. And, of course, then you've got the interesting side issues of the Greens and New Zealand First and Honiharawera and what part these parties will play in the great mix. So I think it's going to be a fascinating election. But I do think, as I said right at the start of this interview, that it's rearranging deck chairs in the Titanic. I don't think any election promise from any party is going to make a blind bit of difference to the tidal wave that's coming.
Well, at that point, the first story about the Titanic that comes to mind is these two old gentlemen who decided to get themselves real drunk on brandy. And incidentally, because they didn't feel the cold quite so much in the water, they were able to swim to a lifeboat and get in it. So as far as I'm concerned, you need to vote for the biggest troublemaker you can. And if you had to point a finger at the biggest troublemakers, there'd probably be two people that I'd be looking at. There'd be Winston Peters from New Zealand First and Honiharawera from the Mana Party. Okay, because
it was really interesting you say that, because we did a poll right at the start of this year on the coming election. And the thing that surprised us was, although New Zealand First polled in our sample about 4.5% overall in terms of would you vote for this party on that day, we found that 37.8%, I think it was, of everyone we polled wanted New Zealand First, wanted Winston Peters back in Parliament. So they want him there as a watchdog and a control on the egos of these other parties.
And you can stay on after the break if you like, Ian. We're going off. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. That's Ian Wishart, ladies and gentlemen, from Investigate Magazine. My very special co-host for today is also Will Ryan from the Our NZ Party. We'll be back in just a moment with the final show before the election.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
What is it that's in your home that causes grown men to cower and children to run for cover?
Daddy, friends.
Food storage.
That's right. Food storage shouldn't be scary. At Simply Your Food, we are the premier providers of long-term, storable, GMO, and MSG-free meats, veggies, fruit, dairy, and pantry essentials like powdered butter. We even have a gluten-free line. Food storage shouldn't be scary. Let Simply Your Food help you with your food storage needs. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Warning. Warning. American. Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Your life as it has been is over.
Radio Free Humanity on AFR. Listen to The Paradigm Shift. Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Central.
Anger to a place that ain't gonna get up in your face. The facts we okay, but the system fails. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and we'll respect our right to live here on the land. It's Dino, I'm not Tina Tonga. We don't own the banks. The parliament does so. So where do you have a stand? They paying their bills off.
Welcome
your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading our youth with alcohol, TV contraband.
So welcome back to the Vinnie A. Switch Show.
Immunity, uninformed public, then consents to our plan.
According to Ian Wishart, the only one who's covering all the bases in this freaking country. In terms of, you know, trying to keep the media honest. No, in fact, bugger it. I'm not trying to keep the media honest because I know that that's an... I don't fight lost causes, okay? I'm just going to become the media. Because that's something I know that I can do. Because you don't need any training or a terribly large amount of brains in order to do better commentary and cover more facts than those useless scum do. Because they're just that retarded. It's not that hard. Just do it, all right? If you're out there, listen to this, and you know your local radio station or something like that is pumping out copious quantities of propaganda, nothing to stop you. Start up something on Blog Talk Radio or something, okay? Start a YouTube channel. Start reporting the truth, okay? This is the only way that we're going to bring it back to where it was. Was it the Military Commissions Act or something like that? Well, where they reduced the amount of media companies in the United States down from like 800 or something down to like 5 now. Or no, it was 4 now.
Back in 96, wasn't it? 90, it was under Clinton. Yeah. Sure.
Exactly. Yeah. So I say do the direct opposite of that. What you do is you just start up another 800 little media companies everywhere and if the big guys come and try to buy you out, just say, F you to the FCC. That's my modus operandi, and I'm quite clandestine about it. Now,
and like everything operates in cycles, and so one day the smaller groups like Vinny could become the Rupert Murdochs, and at that point we'll be coming for you, Vinny.
Hey, I sure hope so.
because if you are in the public eye, if people listen to you and that kind of thing, it means that you are very dangerous, both for your enemies and for your allies. If you betray people, if you start lying, being deceitful, or anything like that, please, for the love of goodness sake, pull that person up on it. And I expect everybody to do this to me if I ever turn into some form of douchebag. Now, going on with the definitions of the parties here, the Alliance Party, Will, did you have anything to say about them?
Alliance, yeah, you know, I don't believe you should center a party around the welfare state. I think you need a strong economy to support, you know, welfare payments for those who can't support themselves. Sure. I totally agree with having a social conscience. I don't think a party should be based around social conscience. I think that's a little bit myopic. Yeah, don't have any really ideas on them otherwise.
Okay, on to the next one, the Aotearoa Legalized Cannabis Party. That was actually the first party that I ever campaigned for, the second party that I ever voted for. And to be honest, they ain't going to win, but... they're all full of pretty reasonable dudes. The whole idea of the drug war is basically just Codex Alimentarius and Agenda 21 in a nutshell. So you've got to end the drug war, particularly against cannabis, because of the hemp plant itself being restricted access to. The only reason why it's illegal is because the people who actually mounted massive fear campaigns back in the mid to late 30s against it had massive, incidentally, shares in forestry, which were hugely threatened by the production of hemp, as were the Rockefeller oil men, who up to that point had a monopoly on oil because they bought out all the barrels that were currently in production in the United States, so none of their competitors could actually barrel any of their oil. So you're dealing with a bunch of monopoly men who saw a massive threat to their monopolies. For example, you can now produce four times as much biomass on an acre of hemp than you can on an acre of trees, okay? So it's pretty straightforward why they wanted to get rid of it. And the old argument against cannabis is that, oh, it makes you lazy, oh, it makes you insane, or whatever. Okay, Bob Dylan, Barack Obama, think what you want about him, smoke weed. Bill Clinton, smoke weed. And allegedly, I've just had reports from an activist in Auckland who I'll be having on the show later on, who has actually met with somebody who's been having a session smoking weed with John Key, the Prime Minister, recently. So if you think that pot makes you unmotivated and unable to do things, just have a look at all the people that are trying to take over the world and destroy everything and been very successful at it have been. And I think that's pretty straightforward. So there's a reason to vote for them. Any commentary, Will?
I think you covered it all, but no, I mean,
all right.
Mackie Herbert, some good people. I would say this though, Vinny. Although a party needs to be simple and have a clear objective in order to gain votes, it has to be seen as mainstream. That's not, sadly, even though the majority of people in this country smoke the stuff. I don't. I'm not against it. Hemp is very powerful medicine. It should be used. We have receptors on the brain and all throughout our bodies. It's tyranny, number one, to tell people what they can and can't grow.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And here's one of your favourites, Will. The Conservative Party, headed up by Colin Craig, who's a, I believe he was a well-placed businessman in real estate, I think? And he also paid the cost for a march against, the anti-smacking bill called the March for Democracy, where he paid and financed it all out, that kind of thing. He's also attended an anti-fluoride meeting in Auckland, but that's all that I know about them, other than being a relatively nice guy when we spoke to him. Well, I don't know that much about him, but you know a bit more than I do, I think.
Well, some could argue they're the only party on the right that is against asset sales, number one. Colin Craig, like you say, is a nice guy, but more than being a nice guy, I believe people have got to have philosophies and principles and want to apply them through their politics. I see a little bit of that in the Conservative Party, which I quite like. Of course, yeah, being anti-fluoridation, allowing personal choice over issues like that is an essential thing. I'd like to see that trade in Parliament, and I wouldn't mind seeing Colin Craig there.
Yep, I wouldn't mind seeing him there too either. Okay, next we have the Democrats for Social Credit. Back in the day in the early, what was it? I think it was during Depression era in New Zealand, I think. The government decided to start up social credit where they built an immense amount of state homes for the people in New Zealand who were homeless and without works, and it was incredibly successful, got the country out of debt, and then somebody started to call it funny money and got rid of it. Now, if that's funny money, what we've got right now, as Calvin Alp says, is effing hilarious. So they're really conscious about the need to have a state bank, not controlled by private interests, issuing the state credit interest-free, so as to avoid the debt, so that you're not wrapped up with so much of it that a loaf of bread costs you like $3 or $4 when it should only cost about maybe $1.
Exactly right, Vinny. But I would follow on and echo something that Calvin Alp has also said about the party, and that is that government needs the power to contract the money supply as well as issue and expand it. There is kind of a magic number or balance to be struck as concerns the money supply per capita. And so you can't just keep pushing out money, even if it's non-debt-based money, government-issued money owned by the people for the people. You can't just keep printing it. Get to a certain level where you devalue it and it doesn't lead to any more efficiencies in trade in the marketplace. So, you know, complex issue. Government needs total oversight of the money supply, to the ability to expand and contract it. That's pretty much it.
Okay. The Green Party, headed up by Matiria Ture and Russell Norman. We've had Russell Norman on the show. Again, like Colin Craig, nice guy. Okay, and I've interviewed Matiria Ture. She's very, very much pro-cannabis policy because she actually used to stand for the Aotearoa Legalized Cannabis Party, so she's a good lady too, fairly down-to-earth and quite nice, and she doesn't have psychopath eyes like some of these politicians do that are at the heads of major parties. Their policies are usually what would you call it, social justice-ish slash with a little bit of libertarian-esque. So you're talking about things like the search and surveillance bill, which they're absolutely opposed to. You're talking about things like ripping out ECANS, which is the Environment Canterbury, which basically ruled the Canterbury region, being thrown out with an undemocratic veto, more or less. So they do stand up for civil rights to a large extent. But basically, because of the whole carbon tax regime, which has more or less eclipsed any type of environmental policy that most parties have ever been talking about now, yeah, a little bit iffy for me, even though I like many of the people in the party. Like, for example, Sue Kedgley is absolutely on the ball when it comes to facing down against the food bill, regulation and Codex Alimentarius type stuff.
Well, Sue Kedgley has a brain and a conscience, but sadly she's left the party. Look, Ture, if you want my honest view, complete idiot, and I'll say that. I mean, I've listened to some of her stuff. She's gone on the record and said that the problem with the economy is global, is capitalism. Now, once again, these people misidentify globalism and corporatism and cronyism as free market capitalism. It's not free market. A free market model leads to high levels of competition that is the best way to have the small person, the little guys, inhibit large corporations getting more monopolistic and duopolistic control of their lives. Again, these people are hypocrites. They say they're against the corporates. You go to any of their houses, their fridge is full of Coke and Pepsi. They don't understand the principles. They're pragmatists rather than principled, and they just deal with the consequences rather than the true problems at the core of the issue.
Yep, I'd agree with pretty much most of the stuff that's said there. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. After the break, we're going to break down the remainder of the parties. We have the Labour Party, Libertarians, Mana, Māori, the National Party, New Zealand First, and United Future. So you tune in after the break and make sure that you go on Facebook and all the globalist-controlled information networks and whatnot if you're in New Zealand, and get people to tune into the Vinnie Eastwood Show, because you know that is absolutely necessary to get people informed. And, you know, we may not be able to break it down 100% of the time, but at least we're making a frickin' effort, unlike the dumbass media. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand. Leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, New Zealand's number one source for alternative media.
allegedly, according to one of the people who's like a crazy Vinnie Eastwood fan in the chat room. By the way, you can join us in the chat room and you can feed us some questions and stuff like that. What we want to do, me and Will are going to break down the parties for you, hopefully in this segment and a little bit of the next, then plan to take some calls and answer some of your questions because we need some audience participation, of course. Now, the next party we're breaking down for you is the Labour Party. Now, Labour was formed after a massive union movement, I think back in the early 1900s in New Zealand. And ever since then, they've been kind of the left wing out of the false left-right paradigm. They were the first people to sell us out to the World Bank, as I mentioned before, with the ACT Party, with Roger Douglas, getting them to sell off state assets. In the case of the New Zealand forestry assets, of which we had a lot, I think it was something like several thousand hectares. I think it might have been even 8,000 hectares of forests that were already in primed and pumped to be harvested and make a killing, literally. They were sold off without so much as a valuation to international interests. They sold out Telecom to Bell Atlantic, which is a World Bank affiliated company. And as this happens with privatization, they will come in, they will start reaping the profits out of it, not maintaining the networks, and then sell the company off before the network degradation gets too bad to let whomever winds up being stupid enough to buy them out from under them, holding the bag. That's as far as their history on the negatory side is concerned. They've also tried to push the carbon trading agenda, as well as certain draconian type things. Like, for example, we had a scuffle in New Zealand about low flow shower heads. There was some controversy about how they were going to regulate how much pressure and how much water you'd be able to have from your shower. And the same on this, along the same lines, attempting to get people's choice of whether or not they want incandescent light bulbs or the mercury-containing, cancer chemical-releasing, according to recent studies, energy-saving light bulbs mandated by law. They also attempted to get an Australian company to force on us the standards of natural medicines, health supplements, and things of that nature. So they're big, big Codex Alimentarius pushers, as well as globalist parties as well. And as I've said before on the show, and I'm probably going to have to say it again, if you're voting for either National or Labor in this election as if they're opposed to each other, you are retarded and need adult supervision. Will, anything to say about Labor?
A lot to say about Labour, Vinny. Labour represents the left arm of the Masonic compass of control in this society. Labour is the epitome of the left camp versus your daddy figure on the left versus your neighbour who supports the right, supposedly. And it's class warfare personified. The people's working class versus the business class, or the white-collar class. Blue-collar versus white-collar. It's pathetic. It's like having the ferns fight the kauri trees, like I've said before, when an ecosystem or an economy is meant to work together. It's people don't understand, so they fight each other. All in the meanwhile, the globalists who issue the money supply, regardless of whether you vote for Labour or National, control and dominate and engineer the society to their ends. Instead of arguing left and right, the real argument was libertarian versus authoritarian. Instead, we've got authoritarian right and authoritarian left. And Labour sure are authoritarian. They're manic socialist psychopaths who want to push on mercury-filled light bulbs, carbon taxes, everything that sounds like a good idea for the greater good that destroys individual liberties. They love
not to mention,
it.
Not to mention when those light bulbs break down, they also get into the water table. I think it's like 1 gram of mercury can contaminate 20,000 litres of drinking water.
They don't care. All the companies that pump off these dangerous chemicals like the aluminium and fertilizer industry, they add water to it, they dilute it down, it's hydrofluorosilic acid, and then they add it to your water supply from the 50s and say it's good for you. Really, it's just aiding the corporations to get rid of their waste that can't be dumped in rivers or streams but finds its way there anyway. that's the same with the Greens, that's the same with Labour. They're not really environmentalists, they're not really for the people, they're authoritarian. And they're interventionists. That's the principle behind Labour. They are interventionists. Intervening with your light bulbs, intervening with your showerhead, intervening with minimum wages. If government could set the minimum wage and solve problems, then why not set it at 20? Why not set it at $50 an hour? Why not set the minimum wage at $100 an hour? For the same reasons it's wrong and incoherent to set it at $100 an hour, it's wrong to set it full stop. It causes unemployment. It means you've got less people in the workforce who have to pay more tax to support those who aren't in the workforce, and that gives them an excuse to put taxes up.
Yep, and on top of that, we had Bob Chapman, the international forecaster, on the show, and he said the capital gains tax is going to absolutely destroy the country. Okay,
capital gains tax is like a softer version of what hardcore commies push in terms of inheritance tax, which John Minto through Mana is pushing. And the inheritance tax is straight out of the Communist Manifesto. That's what the globalists use, so they could take your assets and consolidate it for themselves under the cover of equal suffrage.
Yeah, we all suffer equally. Yeah, we all suffer equally. That's the kind of equality they're talking about. Now, libertarians. I've talked to Julian Pistorius from the Libertarian Party. Good dude. They want to keep heavy restrictions on both business and government, the ability to legislate and what have you, so that it doesn't impinge on individual liberties. There is a flip side to this, which I found very interesting. During the Mount Albert by-election, where Helen Clark, who after she left off for the United Nations job, number three at the UN, pushing $9 billion worth of vaccines into the African continent every year for a $9 million salary, her seat came up, which was a strong Labour seat, and I met Julian Pistorius there. And as was expected, there was an immense amount of media coverage on the main candidates and literally zero, on any other candidate that existed at all. And the Legalized Cannabis Party, who I was making videos for at the time, also made a complaint to the Broadcasting Standards Authority because it was uneven coverage, unfair, and anti-democratic. And they put a call out to other of these minor parties in order to support them. And the libertarian view was, well, it's their right to censor everybody they want, which I felt was just absolutely stupid. Will, anything to say about libertarians?
I agree with a lot of the libertarian views in principle. I would call myself, majority libertarian. However, if you read their policy sheet, and I like some of the guys, Stephen Hizek, shout out to you, mate. If you read through some of their policies, they are a little bit too idealistic, and that I'd see them as an end goal, but I think we need incremental stages to get there. For instance, you just can't kill all taxation and kill all welfare and have a voluntary-based system straight out of the gates come December 1st. You know, it just wouldn't work. There would be blood in the streets. You have to have a slow and incremental way of getting people to that stage, although I do agree with them about the basic model of how to run an efficient society. You cannot tax yourself into prosperity. It is like standing in a bucket and trying to lift yourself up by the handle, taxing yourself into prosperity. The only way an economy lifts itself is through the productive inputs, and the only productive inputs are people's earnings. To tax people's earnings is to tax the productive ability of the whole nation itself. You should only tax the use of money at the expenditure end, not at the earning end. So people don't understand that whole idea. How a rising tide lifts all boats. You know, the rich get richer, but the poor get richer. Poor get wealthier too. And we just hope that the level of poverty lifts, so they're out of poverty. If that makes any sense. And that is the libertarian viewpoint, and that is the lesser government interventionist viewpoint.
Okay, on to the Mana Party, headed up by Hone Hararewa, who was kicked out of Parliament, to a lesser or greater degree. I had an in-depth conversation with Vapi Kupinga on Radio Wātea a while back, And she thinks, or rather knows, that the reason why Hone Haruere was demonized and kicked out of the Maori Party is because he wouldn't sell out to the emissions trading scheme, namely because it would completely impact on Maori. So he's standing on principles, which parties don't have, except for New Zealand First Party, as far as I know. They don't have principles. They have party lines. They have things that they abide by. Hone Haruere was willing to lose his job as a parliamentarian and call a snap election in order to maintain Maori principles to a lesser or greater degree. They are typically what you describe as like real left wing, as opposed to kind of fake left wing like Labour are to an extent, and they're also in favour of a 1% financial transaction tax. And I'll leave it there. And I think Will will be able to explain to you where they got the idea for that 1% financial transaction tax.
Look, I don't even really care if they stole the idea. I don't believe ideas are free. You know, take them. You know, intellectual property, sure, but take the ideas, apply them the right way. Sadly, they took the 1% transaction tax. They're not wanting to scrap income taxes. They're not wanting to replace GST, get rid of ACC levies, road user taxes, corporate taxes. No, they want the 1% transaction tax as in the financial sector only, in addition to all the current taxes. Now, sorry, but that's a mongrelization of what it was intended for. However, you know, like you just said, I do give Hone some credit because at least he stood up for what he believes in, and at least he hasn't wavered and bent to the party line. And I do agree with a lot of the problems they cite. We do have 270,000 kids in poverty. We do have all these problems. How we solve them, however, I disagree on. How we solve them, if, once again, it's interventionism. If government can just say, like they're saying, we're going to lift at least 100,000 kids out of poverty, we're going to build 20,000 plus homes, and we're going to pay back the national debt in 3 years by 2014, I will say that right now, that is impossible. He's not the only one saying it, but I've heard Jacinda Ardern from Labour say it. I've heard Nikki Kaye from National say they're going to pay off the debt within 3 years. The debt is unrepayable. Every dollar in circulation has come into existence as a loan, as debt, and is owed back to the principal issuer plus interest, which was never created at the time of the loan. It cannot be repaid. Simple. Simple. End of argument over the debt. People argue the debt all day long. It's all you hear on TV. They are all wrong. They are all scum. And they're all lying. And this country is going to sink further and further into debt. Next year, they'll be borrowing more than $500 million a week. Mark my words now. And yeah, Sadly, that will be accelerated under any left-wing party that wants to spend more into the economy in the current monetary system. I'm not saying their idea is wrong about looking after people, welfare tactics, whatever. I'm not even arguing that. I'm just saying if they're operating within this paradigm, they're going to have to borrow more and they're going to benefit the banksters more. And so, really, these left-wing parties are actually helping the private central banks who own and run the world even more than the right-wing ones. How about that?
Sounds about right. On to the Maori Party. Now, this party was formed, I think it was, it wasn't the last election, I think it might have been the election before that, to try and have a very Maori-principled party and what have you. And sure enough, that's exactly what they stood for until they got the opportunity to come into Parliament by making a deal with John Key. Ever since then, they violated pretty much everything that the party originally stood for and have more or less just facilitated Nationals policy to a large degree. And I haven't seen really any benefits to come out of there, but honestly, I'm not overly familiar with the party, what their policies are, or what they stand for in the first place, let alone now that they'd kick out one of their top candidates, Hone Haruere, for standing up for Maori principles.
I really think it shows they showed themselves up as just being a flip-flop party who is sucking up to the crown and looking for, like, please give us some scraps, you know, sovereign head of state, governor general. It's a big issue that Māori definitely need representatives in the House. There's a lot of grievances that do need to be addressed. I totally agree with that. But I myself are for a new constitution for all New Zealanders, as New Zealanders are defined. Now But that shouldn't mean any culture is diluted or impinged upon or grievances aren't addressed. The Māori Party aren't doing that for their people, in my view. And Honey would probably agree with that, and that's probably why he's gone his way. I don't have much to say about the Māori Party otherwise.
And on to the big head honcho. We've got about 4 minutes left in this segment. The National Party, headed by John Key. John Key being a former Federal Reserve employee, former Merrill Lynch derivatives trader, both in the foreign debt markets, like derivatives and bond markets, in the European Union. He also moved his bank offices into Ireland during a time when they were giving sweetheart financial taxation deals to huge hubs who were moving their bank offices there. And we all saw the result of what happened to Ireland after that sweetheart deal was closed. They collapsed in a 9/11 Towers type fashion. And the National Party is basically here to do the precise same thing to the people of New Zealand. In fact, if you can even you can paraphrase, but not quote. I don't know the exact quote, but John Key earlier on, before the financial crisis, said that Ireland had done a brilliant job managing its economy in order to attract financial business and such like that to the country, and that's exactly what he wants to do here. He said that, or words to those effect, and he did mention Ireland. So if you want to have a hollowed out economy and entire neighborhoods full of empty houses, a bankrupted economy, and all of that kind of stuff, vote for John Key. And this is another thing. They're going back on They're basically branding it as the John Key Party now, don't you think? There's nothing else for it. And we actually do need to expand on the National Party when we come back from break. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the last show that we will do before the polls close on Sunday. So please get people to tune in, message them on Facebook and what have you. Get them to tune in as we break down the National Party after the break.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in 3 models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. Tuberculite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Tuberculite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Tuberculite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m., only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
I stand alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall, deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn...
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about deadly gangster protection. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Only two segments in it until we get to celebrate Thanksgiving, and I want to give some thanks as well to the globalists for making sure that I don't have to worry about what my government does, because I know, because it's planned in advance. Speaking of which, we were talking about the National Party, and Will's going to break it down a little bit for us. But before he does, there's a couple of the other things I wanted to talk about. Like, for example, the environment sinister Nick Smith, as Ian Wishart mentioned earlier, is a total globalist. John Key being a financial banker. Bill English, I have seen Bill English's signature on a document that has laid out New Zealand's budget up until 2020. So that it was on the Securities and Exchange Commission's website, which you need a special password to get in. That somebody showed me a number of years ago. So he's well in with the globalists. They know precisely what's going on. They are the ultimate in scumbaggery. The other person, Tony Ryle, who's currently the health sinister, used to be on the board for the World Health Organization, a well-known toxic vaccine-pushing scum. Then there's Judith Collins, a.k.a. Crusher Collins, because she's, she's basically, have you ever seen a real evil lady and you think to yourself, oh, she's so scary? That's Judith Collins, right? And she will crush your freaking liberties quicker than you can, and she'll do it very happily too. As the police commissioner, she has a conflict of interest because she's also the justice minister. Isn't she also the justice minister or something else like that? I forget which conflict of interest are, because there's just so many of them in the National Party itself. And there's basically too much scumbaggery to mention, so I'm going to let Will take it from here.
Well, whatever party is the sitting government, they're always going to receive more flack than all the rest. That goes without saying. Mm. So why try and leave that aside, the fact that they're sitting in government and pushing through things under urgency every week? I try and leave that aside and just focus on the principles or the so-called principles versus the reality of the party. National isn't national, in my view. National are globalists. National isn't looking after this nation, and the best way to look after any nation is to control its money supply. That's what it all goes back to. If you're worried about environmental custodianship, social, a social conscience, feeding and clothing and housing a nation, you've got to set the conditions. It's not necessarily the role of government to put pajamas on kids, but it is their job to set the conditions so people are able, in a moderate fashion, without working 95 hours a week, to provide the conditions for themselves. National isn't doing that. They're borrowing $450 million a week. At the same time, we hear them saying they're going to have us in surplus in 3 years' time. Well, just before that, you've got to raise $450 million a week. How are you going to reverse that? You can't. You can't. The problem is we have a debt-based money supply. There is no such thing as surplus because the whole thing is a liability. The whole money supply is a liability. How do we get away from this? Well, I think the cleanest way is to form a constitution and to have a true republic, a true national party for this nation, by this nation, owned by the people. As long as it's serving the crown accounts, as long as we're serving global interests and global crony speculative markets, we are going to have compromised policies and we're going to have our own lives compromised in this so-called free land. And the National Party is just another condensation of that sentiment. They're bending to the will of our allies. A lot of people think that's America. That's short-sighted because America is controlled and manipulated by the true powers on this planet, which never left the Roman Empire, which never left Europe in general. That's where the money is. That's where the seat of the throne is. And that's why America is fully indebted, well over the $14 trillion official debt. And so, you know, the National Party is just purely a reflection of that. And there's nothing really more to say from my end. There's no surprises anywhere else.
Yeah, perpetual debt. I mean, when they first came into government, they said, oh, we're borrowing $250 million a week. And then they say, oh, we're actually borrowing $300 million a week. Oh, we're actually borrowing $350 million a week. Oh, the new BNZ chief comes out, we're actually borrowing $400 million a week. Oh, we're coming out, guaranteed, as you said before to me on the break, Will, they'll be coming out and saying we're borrowing $500 million a week. And the whole New World Order agenda is to get people into so much debt that they can basically... take out your entire economy, okay? You've got enough debt so that you can justify going into receivership as a nation. And that's what national stands for, receivership into the globalist empire as a nation, okay? That's what the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement is about. It's about allowing corporations to come into the country and to basically operate exactly how they want, break any law they want, and then if the government ever goes, oh, we don't like you doing that, they can then take us to the world court and sue us, and we will lose because of the world. It's the world court, which is owned by basically the WTO, World Trade Organization, globalist scumbags, and they'll just take every penny we got till the end of time. Now,
the thing is, we don't have a global government, so we have to have sovereign governments supposedly that serve the global interest. That's the way the world is at the moment. That's the way it's been for at least the last few decades. Why we have asset sales, why we have Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreements is not because they want to sell out things to their crony mates so much, is because they need to be able to service the debt. If you're borrowing $300 million a week 1 year, how do you pay that back? With interest applied, you have to borrow more money to pay back the money you borrowed the previous month, week, year. And that's why it keeps amounting. And Phil Goff will only increase that acceleration towards zero point, towards D-Day, towards globalist takeover by borrowing another $4 billion per annum, as they intend to do, in order to lovingly care for the social welfare state.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Now, we're very biased on this show, so we're going to save the best till last. The next party we're going to talk about is United Future, started up by Peter Dunn Party, and I don't like the guy very much. I once talked to a lady in Wellington who used to be a journalist, a camera girl, and one time Peter Dunn held a conference sort of thing, and like five people turned up. Like they had all the tables set. It was a big kind of hall, and it was meant to be for dinner and everything like that. And Peter Dunn was pretty much the only one there, which kind of indicates just how much what people think of him. But anyway, this is what he did. He asked this camera lady to follow him out to his car. He's just like, come on, follow me, come on. I'm just going to show you something. Blah, 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 blah. And as he was getting into his car, she was relatively close to him with the camera because he told her to. He then shoves her camera. And then the next day in the news, Peter Dunn's getting harassed by the media. Boom. Absolutely the most hilarious stuff you've ever seen. There is also another candidate on their list who we've had on the show, Clyde Graff, who is a anti-1080 activist, and United Future has always been anti-1080. To their credit, 1080 is a one of the most virulent chemicals, poisons known to man, used to be used to poison downstream water supplies by the Japanese in the Chinese province of Manchuria pre-World War II in order to poison entire communities downstream, essentially. And now the only country in the world that is allowed to use this outdoors is New Zealand, and out use it they do. They dump huge amounts of this pellets and stuff all over our pristine bushland, directly into our rivers. Many farmers' dogs, I think something like about 50 dogs or something like that, have been killed last year by 1080 pellets that have been showered onto the farmland very, very close. And their argument is, this poison is only being deployed in places where we couldn't possibly do trapping. You know, it's too remote. Look, if it's on the border of somebody's bloody farmland, that's not too remote to walk to. The farmer's got a quad bike.
Well, I don't know that about United Future, Vinny, so I have to give them points for that. Otherwise, they seem a bit of a misnomer party. They don't really need to stand for anything. They kind of just wave in the wind. I'm centrist. I'm reasonable. Vote for me. I've got a big cockatoo-looking hairdo. But otherwise, the Green Party, once you're on the 1080 issue, all for it, because it's their collectivist philosophy. Win a few, lose a few. It's the best way to get to these rugged territories. I say we could make a huge industry in paying hunters to go out getting these possum furs, and it's across the board. We're going to have a huge trapping industry. There's possibilities there for mass employment and to benefit this nation also. To stop the deforestation on behalf of these millions of possums.
And United Future is also like Alliance and Jim Anderton, fiercely anti-cannabis. They come from a very Christian sort of background, moralistic type standpoint, where essentially cannabis is an evil thing, you know, from the devil or what have you. And I was talking to one of them, and I said, well, the law isn't working. More people now smoke cannabis than ever before when it was legislated against. And why don't you just do that? And she says, well, maybe we should just stop everybody smoking it and see if that works. And I say, well, that's what you've been trying to do for the past like 40-odd years, and it hasn't worked. It's only gone in the opposite direction. So they're insane.
Let me say that, something to that, Vinny.
On that line of things, yeah, but yeah.
I'll say something to that. Regardless of what their principles are, whether they think the Bible talks against cannabis, which it doesn't, they need to, you can't impose your principles through force of law on other people and call that free market, call that pro-liberty. If you believe the government is a mechanism for getting your vision of society pushed onto people through force, then you've got some problems and should join Adolf Hitler's party. But the idea is that if you try and suppress something that people are going to do anyway, it's going to be a social problem anyway. So do you want cannabis use above ground or underground? Do you want it in the hands of the gangs only, or do you want it to be a potentially taxable income source via GST? Not that I'm for GST. But you see, it's like Ayn Rand once said something to the effect of you can ignore reality, but you still bear, you still pay the consequences of what
it's,
reality
the
is.
Quote, the quote is, you can ignore reality, but you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring reality.
Exactly. Speaking of, and that's what all these interventionists try and do.
All right. Now, finally, last, and we saved the best till last, New Zealand First. Winston Peters was a person who started up New Zealand First, long-time New Zealand politician all the way back through the 70s and whatnot. He has been virulently anti-privatisation, has mentioned the Rothschilds and other wealthy families in speeches that I've videoed, is fiercely against the amount of international influence that we're having on this country on behalf of the globalists. He has given a large amount of stonk into the elderly population, the aging population, who've probably been supporting him since day one to a large extent, giving them the super gold card. He's also very innovative. He raised all the money for the Tauranga, one of New Zealand's largest cities, the one that's just had a massive ship crash on the outside of it, spilling oil everywhere. But there was this big bridge construction, and he promised all his constituents that he would build that bridge without increasing their rates 1 cent. And he did. And then he got thrown out of that seat by a guy in the National Party called Bob Parker, I think. And when they opened the bridge, Winston wasn't even invited. He has a long track record of standing in the way of the globalists, and he's been demonised in the media because of it. The wine box inquiry, I think this was back in the early to mid-90s, Winston Peters became aware of an enormous tax evasion scam involving major New Zealand corporations and major New Zealand politicians and political parties and high-up people in the food chain, and he exposed what was going on in this country. And the reason why it was called the Wine Box Inquiry is because he'd been assessing and amounting documentation and evidence against these types of people. He's a trained lawyer, and he brought all of this documentation into Parliament in one of his old wine boxes, so it was dubbed the Wine Box Inquiry. He made an awful lot of high-level enemies at that point in his political career, and it has dogged him ever since. Whenever you hear Winston on the media, unless it's live or something like that, he gets soundbited, demonized as if his voters are just senile old people who don't know what the heck they're talking about. And ultimately, he's demonized in the media more than any other politician in this country's history, as far as I'm concerned. Ergo, that's probably a reason to vote for him. Other than that, he has fairly reasonable policies, talking about stopping the state asset sales and instead using commission management. This is how the Rothschild family runs all their wealth. They appoint people from private companies to run those companies well. If they do run them well, then they get a bonus. But the company stays in the property of the government, and the profits go back to the people, less the bonus for having somebody run it well. Okay, that's his approach to privatization. We have about one more minute in this segment. Will, you can add in what you like now.
You've endorsed the guy greatly. I like Winston Peters. He's a firebrand guy. He's intelligent. Listen to any unedited videos of the guy. He's got philosophies and principles. I like that. We need people like that, not just flip-flop, pragmatic, idiot fools. And yeah, there's a couple of things I don't support of this. $15 an hour minimum wage intervention. Don't like it. And the fact that he doesn't want to succeed from the crown. Public carte blanche. Yeah, okay. Otherwise, he's probably got my vote.
Yeah, me too. And I would encourage other people to vote Winston because, well, basically, he's certainly the funniest politician. Tells a good joke. We'll be right back.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-888-8888.
866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
What is it that's in your home that causes grown men to cower and children to run for cover?
Fun!
Food storage!
That's right. Food storage shouldn't be scary. At Simply Your Food, we are the premier providers of long-term, storable, GMO, and MSG-free meats, veggies, fruit, dairy, and pantry essentials like powdered butter. We even have a gluten-free line. Food storage shouldn't be scary. Let Simply Your Food help you with your food storage needs. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Your daily dose of conspiracy and comedy is the Vinnie Eastwood Show. In a world so full of madness and chaos, don't lose your sense of humor or you'll go friggin' nuts. Weekdays 5 to 7 Central on American Freedom Radio.
On December 16th, 1961... the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream, just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president it seemed. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go, in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
patriotism doesn't have a four-year shelf life. But unfortunately, politicians do. This is why I don't want to get involved and become a representative for a political party or anything like that. Not entirely dissimilar from how Ian Wishart goes about it, kind of thing, and just, you know, trying to remain independent or what have you. But I guess it's just because I feel like there's so many people that I agree with, and I wouldn't want to have to abide by a party line that isn't my own, because, well, basically, I want to be able to support who I want to support and not have to toe anybody else's party line other than the dictate of my own conscience. And that's what I stand for, at least. And I may fail at that. Who knows? Maybe later on in my career, I'll start to engage in scumbaggery, and it won't be a nice thing at all.
What I want to see this election, Vinny, is people start seeing beyond the governments. People start seeing beyond 3 or 4 years here or there. Helen Clark, John Key, yada, yada, yada. Hate the next person, all the just the back and forth, the left, the right, the flip, the flop. The same lies continue. The debt mounts up. The dead bodies stack up, the problems stack up, and people have got to start seeing beyond the governments, beyond the corporations, and see to the power behind them. Follow the money. Understand the mechanisms of money, not the mechanisms of capitalism or socialism, but the true mechanisms of true power, of wealth, and control. That's what people have got to start seeing. Until people can see the true mechanisms of power on this planet, they can't accurately formulate a political paradigm that would best empower individuals to live lives of sovereign beings at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, and I suppose that when it comes to politics, the real thing that you have to acknowledge and have to research before you can even contemplate the politics is the New World Order. The global influence of banking cartels, the issuance of currency, the United Nations conventions like Codex Alimentarius, Agenda 21 from the Rio Summit. If you have not heard of these things, you don't know politics. If you don't know about the New World Order, you know nothing about politics. It is just that simple. Because
they're
all
not
of
separate
the political
things.
Yeah, yeah. They
they're
are one and the same.
Things. People talk about politics. They think politics means, you know, what John Key said to John Banks in their little Masonic teacup meeting. And what, yeah, they think this was Woman's Day, scandalous, chittering, jabbering, demonic chitter-chatter. That's politics somehow. Politics is about power. Politics is about personal interrelations between governments, corporations and powerful individuals, and the downstream effects that has on their nation states and the inhabitants of. I mean, politics is everything. Uh-huh. It's just the intrinsic nature of the fact we have to cooperate and coordinate ourselves with other people on this singular planet. And so, to understand it best, they need to understand what's going on at a pharmaceutical level, with our corporatized, monopolized health systems, just across the board. When I see movements, how I judge a movement, and I said this before, how I judge the credibility of the people within it is what they're interested in. If I hear some people talking about workers' rights, like John Minto, but never once have I heard him bring up anything about the health calamities in this country? It's not good enough just to say, oh, issue by issue, and that's not his area, and yada, yada, yada. If he really doesn't care about the fact that people have been jabbed with mercury vaccines with 150 times the recommended levels, and little kids are being fluoridated well above even WHO recommendations, if they don't care about the force of tyranny under a collective banner of helping people, then they don't really care about people, and their message isn't worth listening to, in my view. That's how you judge the character.
Well, I would agree with you to a point on that one. I just think that collectivism in and of itself is bunk. because there's no such thing as a collective. There's no such thing as a group. As G. Edward Griffin says, you can't touch a forest. You can only touch a tree. A forest is only made out of trees. And therefore, the collective is just a made-up thing that doesn't actually exist, because the reality is there are only individuals, and only somebody who truly acts on their own individual nature, their own individual passions, things like that, make a difference and make themselves valued members of society. Somebody who considers themselves part of the collective has taken their responsibility out of the equation. And the last thing that I ever want to see for any nation or any person is an abdication of responsibility in and of itself for the benefit of the collective, because ultimately it accomplishes the direct opposite for what you want to see. The globalists in the New World Order are collectivists. They want everybody to think as though they're part of this integral whole, when the reality is they're just using that as an excuse to make to convince them that, oh, we love you and we're going to take care of you, when they're just going to wind up exterminating you after all the rest of your rights to life, liberty and property have been taken away through covert means.
Beautifully said, Vinny. I mean, what would the ultimate psycho want? Would he want 6 billion individuals who can think on their own feet and have 6 billion different answers for them? Or would they want a collective with 3 or 4 or 5 different predictable groups of responses, left, right, and this and that, and so they can charter different management teams to control and manipulate those controlled paradigms? The answer is obvious. Collectivism feeds psychopaths and sociopaths and the power players on this planet. You don't go into a bar to try and meet a collective. You go into a bar to meet an individual, to meet someone you want to marry one day. You don't marry a collective. It's this thread of individuality, all the beautiful things, all the inventions, all the art, comes from individuals, inspired individuals who have found their true personal power and unleashed it. It doesn't come from dumbed down, mediocritized collective masses of scum slaves. I mean, it's never come from that. True liberty.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree with you. And I think that that kind of comes back to my Facebook status that I put up this morning. It has never been the masses of people that make a long-lasting difference. It is always the small, determined minority working day after day who make a better world. If you feel outnumbered by morons and false left-right paradigm believers, bear in mind they will one day either follow you to freedom or your adversary to darkness. Either way, we win.
The stronger we have individuals allowed to be in our society, the more individuals can realize their own potential too, and we can all get out of the gutter together. And so there is unity in our individual choices to be united, if that makes any sense.
But yeah. It's just, you go up to somebody and you just want to go up to somebody and say, hey, do you want to be enslaved in chains with a number burned into your forehead? No. Okay, then we've got something in common. Doesn't mean we're trying to collectivise ourselves. It means that there's two individuals who don't want to be collectivised. Right?
Yeah, and
that's all
and
you need to realise.
Doesn't mean dog eat dog. It doesn't mean neighbour hating neighbour. It means we respect each other as the beings we are. You know?
Yeah. Let's think about this. Like, what I do as an individual, I go out and I find an activist, another individual. They can't get onto radio. They can't get onto YouTube because they don't possess that skill set. I do. So what I do is I use my individual abilities to help their individual abilities get out there to everybody. Okay? That's two individuals working together. That has nothing to do with the collective. That has to do with me as an individual making the choice to do something that is right for the people of this country and this world, because it needs to happen. And if nobody else is doing it, then the responsibility falls to the person who realizes that it needs to be done. I realized it needed to be done, and I took responsibility for my own thought, because that's how much of an individualist I am. I didn't want to wait for anybody else's permission. I don't want to wait for anything else, okay? Because the time for waiting is over. If you got an idea in your head and you think it's great, go out and make it happen. If you want to make something happen, don't put your mind to it. Put your heart
into it. Yeah, exactly, Vinny. And I would just finalize by saying, the only way our nation and world is going to come out of this whole rule and this debt trap rule and this controlled and manipulated society is through diverse and rugged individualism coming together and elevating the bar for everyone. But diversity and rugged individuality are the keys.
Yep, I'd agree with that. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Former co-host here from the RNZ Party. You can also look them up online. What's the website again, Will?
It's www.urnz.org.nz. RNZ Party. Check it out, folks, and have a good day.
All right, cool, because I've got plenty of policies there that actually apply internationally. It doesn't mean they're collectivists. And we'll be back after Thanksgiving. And I want to thank everybody very much who's been donating to help us get into a new studio. Love you very much, and we'll see you again sometime.